ألم تر إلى الذين خرجوا من ديارهم وهم ألوف حذر الموت فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكر. الله سبحانه وتعالى declares in the Holy Quran, have you not seen those who fled their homes in their thousands for fear of death from contagion, whereupon Allah said to them, die, and later brought them back to life. Surely Allah is bountiful to mankind, but most of them are ungrateful. Over the last 4 weeks, we've been discussing the ahadith related to contagion and quarantine, and we emphasize how they have to be interpreted in a manner commensurate with the Quranic principles that we stated. Tibbin Nabawi, as a codified science of medical practice, gives us the appropriate tools whereby to correctly interpret those relevant ahadith. What was most important to note is that none of the inalienable rights were ever disregarded by any Muslim authorities throughout a long period of 1,400 years of Islamic governance. Neither were any congregational acts of worship ever abrogated. Neither were cities placed into lockdown, nor were people's livelihoods jeopardized because of some contagion or plague, nor were superficial conventional assumptions of germ theory ever accepted. Rather, what we find through the course of analyzing these ahadith and the related sciences like Tibbin Nabawi, there was instead a focus on creating environments conducive to enhancing the body's natural immunity. And it was all coupled with the various healing tonic herbs and natural cures that were prescribed by the Blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as optional quarantine measures, which is what we discussed last week. So to summarize, the Islamic response has always been an intelligent, balanced and proportional response. Muslims also were instructed never to flee in panic or abandon others in times of hardship, and the great rewards afforded to those who even perished in plagues, but still upheld their duty, their civic responsibilities, as being akin to the reward of the martyr. Today we'll conclude the series with the very same ayat that we introduced the subject with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفٌ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. But have you not seen those who fled their homes in their thousands for fear of death from contagion? Whereupon Allah said to them, die, and later brought them back to life. Surely Allah is bountiful to mankind, but most of them are ungrateful. The ayah actually doesn't end there. It is part of a series of three ayat, which have to be read together and understood in context. The next ayah goes, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. So fight in Allah's cause, and remember that Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing. The next ayah continues, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Who is there who will give to Allah a generous loan by spending of his wealth in the path of Allah? For Allah will indeed multiply it many times over. It is Allah certainly who withholds, and it is Allah who gives abundantly, and it is to Allah that you shall all be returned. The ayat that we've been reciting as an introduction to these talks all actually refer to a group of the Banu Israel of antiquity who in their thousands deserted their dwellings for fear of either plague and not wanting to remain and care for their afflicted brethren, or, as the Mufassirin also explain, who fled from the obligation of jihad and the duty to serve as soldiers in defense of Allah's religion, and then being struck dead by plague by Allah's command. Both explanations are valid, and both refer to that group of the Bani Israel of antiquity who were guilty of dereliction of their duty. Dereliction of their duty to those already afflicted with plague and not caring for them and not upholding their civic responsibilities. And also dereliction of their duty to jihad and establishing Allah's law and falling short of that duty. As the story goes, this group of the Banu Israel, through cowardice and selfishness, deserted their dwellings in their thousands, taking refuge in the neighboring valleys. But when they reached safety, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck them with death, and thereafter Allah restored them to life. Thus the verse of the Quran, "Have you not seen those who fled their homes and their thousands for fear of death from contagion, whereupon Allah said to them, die, and later brought them back to life?" The incident of plague mentioned in this verse serves as a prelude to the obligation of jihad for Muslims in the subsequent verses as I've recited. The moral in this entire incident is that life and death are absolutely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the instruction is clear. Do not shirk your duty, O Muslims. We are being instructed through this incident of never shirking from our duty as Muslims for fear of death. Now, death and life are subservient to the wise destiny determined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Going into a battle in jihad, like plague, is not the cause of death. And running away from it out of cowardice is not the means to avoid death. Rather, fulfillment of duty and the sacrifice of one's life and possessions in the path of Allah is what will ensure success for the ummah in this life and especially in the next. Uphold the religion of Allah Almighty and achieve the best of both worlds, and do not abandon it and its principles for fear of an infection or for fear of an enemy who may threaten your well-being, as we see happening all over the Muslim world during this COVID-19 scandemic. Because of cowardice, because of fear, Muslims abandoning their principles, abandoning the duty to uphold Islam and our sacred law, the Sharia. Now we can easily appreciate why the hadith on plague are always stated in the context of the soldier who is martyred in defending Islam, in defending the principles of Islam, in defending the practice of Islam. And that is why in the Quran, the verse regarding plague is coupled with the verse regarding martyrdom and the duty of jihad. Those communities afflicted with plague are duty-bound to uphold the Islamic religious and civic responsibilities without compromise. And by duties and responsibilities, we mean the full list of axiomatic rights that Islam guarantees, including the right to freedom of movement, freedom of association, freedom to pursue a vocation, etc. These have to be upheld even at the expense of losing our lives, hence the reward of the martyr. We are to be under no illusion about it. And this is what is so grievous about this severe warning in the Quran and the description of the serious consequences that befell the Bani Israel in neglecting their duty. If we are not prepared to fulfill our duty to Islam and our duties to each other in upholding our civic responsibilities, and also the duty of fighting for our faith and establishing Islam and doing so with our lives and all our resources, then, as Allah warns in the Quran, both our lives and our resources will be wiped out, as the Bani Israel of old were wiped out when they failed in their duty of upholding Allah's law and fighting in His cause. As to life, remember that Allah gave it, and a coward is not likely to save it. It has happened again and again in history that those people who tamely submitted to be driven from their homes, being threatened by enemy onslaught, or stripped of their rights, or for that matter, even abandoning their duty and responsibility because of fear of contagion, even though they were more numerous than their enemies, and the threat of each and every one of them perishing were very slim, they had the sentence of death pronounced on them for their cowardice. But Allah gives further and further chances in His mercy. And this is a lesson to every generation. And that is why Allah said that after them having suffered that punishment of being all put to death, Allah declares, ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ. We showed them mercy. We gave them yet another opportunity. We brought them back to life. Allah is immensely graceful to human beings, even when they are guilty of wrongdoing, even when they are guilty of dereliction of their duty, even in their cowardice and incompetence. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Indeed, Allah He is the one who is extremely graceful, extremely patient, extremely generous to human beings. This includes the grace he showed to that particular group of Bani Israel by bringing them back to life after they neglected their duty and responsibility. But it also includes the grace that he has shown to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, me and you, by informing us about that incident. Because in so doing, it awakens the heedless and the negligent believers amongst us. And it also makes it a model for moral and spiritual lessons to be drawn by the Ummah. As the entire Islamic discussion on plague and on epidemic over the last 4 weeks has been, it's been a mercy to us. It's been a means whereby we gain clear directive as to our duty and responsibility, and also the way in which we can earn Allah's good favor. Ultimately, life is that test through which we aim for Allah's good pleasure. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ But most people are ungrateful of Allah's guidance. And it is said that unfortunately, just like the Banu Israel of old, as the Quran describes them, who are ungrateful and thus were afflicted with that punishment that befell them, we too seem to be ungrateful Muslims who have been carelessly turning away from Allah's good guidance in this matter and following the kuffar down the hole of the lizard. The next verse goes, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَأَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ So then fight in the cause of Allah and know that Allah hears and knows all things. For Allah's cause, well, this ayah instructs that we have to fight. Not just when it suits our convenience, and also in spite of our weakness, we still have to fight. And certainly, we should never fight to satisfy our own selfish interests or passions or greed, because this seems to be the only time that Muslim nations choose to fight when it serves their own national or racist interests, like we find in the Middle East currently. And so the warning is repeated. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Know that Allah hears and knows all things. All our deeds, all our words, all our motives are perfectly open before Allah. Even though we may conceal them from men, we may even conceal them from ourselves, why we do what we do is known to Allah. Why some of us have opted to follow the kuffar in this scamdemic, why some of us have opted, for example, to take the vaccine, knowing full well that the Sharia frowns upon this. Is it as a consequence of our cowardice, our fear, our lack of trust and confidence in the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, in the great Islamic tradition of Tib al-Nabawi? Well, Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ Allah is all-hearing, Allah knows what motivates our action. Then Allah continues, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا Who is he that will loan to Allah a beautiful loan by spending in his path? As compared to spending on multinational vaccine companies who are raking in trillions because of our cowardice and fear. But who is there to spend in the path of Allah? قَرْضًا حَسَنًا Who will give Allah this goodly loan? فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا So that Allah may double and multiply its reward to his credit many times over. وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِدُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ Know that indeed Allah is he who takes away life, who may even take away your well-being or wealth, but it is also Allah who gives generously. Ultimately, he is the determiner. And to him you will all be returned. It is all a test of your faith. So spending in the cause of Allah, along with fighting in the cause of Allah, are both called metaphorically a beautiful loan, qardan hasan. And it's excellent, it's hasan in many ways. It shows a beautiful spirit, firstly, of self-denial. And self-denial is the attribute expected of the believer in facing trials and tribulation, in facing the enemy, in facing the threat of contagion. Self-denial, service to those who are afflicted, defense of those who are weak. In other loans also, there may be a doubt as to the safety of your capital or the return of what you've invested. Here, you give to the Lord of all, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hands are the keys of prosperity and poverty. In investing, you could say, in his religion, the enterprise of Islam. And by the enterprise of Islam, we mean every facet of the faith, including its medical tradition. By investing in Islam and establishing the Islamic way of life, Allah says that he will give you a goodly return. يُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا Sometimes we find that by giving, we may think we're losing. Giving in Allah's path, giving charity, we think that we may be losing wealth. But there's so many manifold blessings and we get such a goodly return. Even in our experience, many of us have come to know this. By withholding and not giving generously and selflessly, very often we are losing and we see the loss of blessing in what we have. And we see even the loss of what we have through our miserliness and short-sightedness. If we remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our goal, and we can never ever turn away from serving His religion, we can never ever turn away from Islam. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala couples these three ayat together. So, from what has been said over the last 5 weeks, we can say that Islam and our Sharia can never sanction COVID-19 totalitarianism and its oppressive vaccine mandates and the global lockdown of human society and the pretext of a debatable contagion. Nor can it ever sanction the monopolistic theft by banks and conglomerates and multinational corporations of the sovereign wealth and assets of entire nations. Nor can it ever be used to justify the suspension of congregational salah, nor the suspension of the rights of freedom of movement and association, as well as the freedom of conscience, nor the obstruction of the freedom to pursue vocational goals and the destruction of independent local businesses and infrastructure, nor suspension of our civic responsibilities and duties to those who are most vulnerable. Muslims who have endorsed COVID-19 totalitarianism and the oppressive vaccine mandates are therefore guilty of committing grievous haram and bid'ah. And if they do not repent, then unfortunately the same threat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leveled against the Bani Israel and the consequence that they suffered, as described in those ayah, are unfortunately sure to befall us as well. We will be punished like the Banu Israel of old. And I think maybe even more severely so, given that we have been gifted the guidance. أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَهُمْ أُلُوفْ حَذَرَ الْمَوْتِ فَقَالَ لَهُمُ اللَّهُ مُوتُوا ثُمَّ أَحْيَاهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرَةً وَاللَّهُ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Have you not seen those who fled their homes in their thousands for fear of death from contagion, whereupon Allah said to them, die, and later brought them back to life? Surely Allah is bountiful to mankind, but most of them are ungrateful. Fight therefore in defense of Allah's cause, and remember that He is all-hearing and all-knowing. Who will give to Allah a generous loan, and He will multiply it many times over? It is Allah who withholds, and it is Allah who gives abundantly, and it is to Him that you shall all be returned.